Hello, beautiful beasties. Happy Freaky Friday. Hopefully, there's a little bit of freaky in your Friday. In a good way, that is. So, the following is a request fulfillment. One amongst you has been a particularly naughty girl and has asked me about something very devious. You know who you are. I'm not going to out you to the group, but somebody asked me for cookbook recommendations. And since I don't know anything about cookbooks, I'm gonna wait a minute here and see if any of you detected the heaping metric ton of sarcasm in that last statement. So, I was asked for cookbook recommendations. And so, why not just ask me to, like, dictate to you all of the books that I have piled over there that I'm waiting to read? Because honestly, at this point, that would probably be easier. I have basically taken the opportunity to break down this list. I racked my brain for 2 days, as a matter of fact, going, but I should talk about this. I'm going to make a short and succinct list. And this list is separated into the following four categories. First, the basics. Secondly, books that I bought for love. Thirdly, eccentricities. And fourth, the one thing that I would never part with. Okay? So, sit down. Get comfy. If you didn't know that you needed cookbook talk, this is cookbook talk.
Dirty, dirty cookbook talk. Have you cooked anything decently lately? How well have you sautéed it?
What the hell is going on right now? Okay, so let's start off. Part one, the absolute basics. Okay, here goes. First, let's talk about the Betty Crocker cookbook. This thing's been around forever. Forever. I remember this from growing up. My parents had a copy. The cover was originally red, I'm pretty sure, but it was orange by the time I started using it, and the pages were yellowed. And it was just full of the basics. And you can still get your hands on a copy. It's like $13 or something, but it's expansive, like utterly voluminous when it comes to just the basics and covering all of your bases. I still have a copy because it's the fundamentals. Everybody needs the fundamentals. And this was like baking in the 1950s. It's got a lot of good stuff that you can transmute into other things. I've used the pie crust recipe in that cookbook for like 8,000 different things in the past. So it always comes in handy. Continuing with the basics. Mastering the Art of French Cooking, Julia Child. I mean, come on, guys. Julia Child. You can't really... There's no way of going about things without getting the two-volume set of Mastering the Art of French Cooking. I mean, there's so many good ideas in there, so many ways that you can go about things, and a lot of challenges. And in all honesty, you got to love a good challenge when it comes to cooking stuff. If you truly love cooking, and, you know, I'm a giant cook. I mean, I cannot get through a week without making a massive meal or two. So that is another classic. Jacques Pepin, Heart and Soul in the Kitchen. I feel like Jacques has been a staple of cuisine forever and a day, and his cookbooks have always been kind of a good place to go to. Same thing comes up with James Beard. James Beard's American Cookery is just another good way to go about, you know, kind of the fundamentals, American cuisine, just a lot of stuff that really comes in handy. Like, and some of the stuff, I'm not kidding you, some of the stuff is very complicated, but there's always a lot of things in there that you can look towards, that you can aspire to, that you can utilize. So those are kind of like, those are the building blocks. Like, you know, Julia Child's Mastering French Cuisine was a staple in my parents' house. The Betty Crocker cookbook was a staple in my parents' house. Jacques Pepin, I mean, I grew up on NPR, so Jacques Pepin was like all over the place. And then James Beard, the James Beard cookbook was also, in my parents' home. So, you know, I could throw the Joy of Cooking in there from Irma and Marion, Rombauer, which another good one, but I mean, that's kind of a take it or leave it. You start seeing overlaps when it comes to stuff like that, because it's just more American, like, cuisine. I mean, they've added some stuff since it first came out, but it's all good. It is all good. So I think those are really what I think of when it comes to the fundamentals. Right? So, category two. Cookbooks I bought for love. This is, you know what? I don't even know why I shy away from this stuff at this point. I own 6, maybe 7 of Nigella Lawson's cookbooks. Because, well, for two reasons. One, the woman knows how to cook. And two, I had a massive crush on her when I was in high school. So, like, just, what can I say? Like, curvy British woman with dark hair who knows how to eat, like, and knows how to cook. Like, what? So I, like, I have How to Be a Domestic Goddess, Nigella Lissima, Simply Nigella, like, Nigella Express, How to Eat, like, Yeah, I mean, like, I don't even know why I bother. Cook, eat, repeat, like, at my table. I gotta stop talking. The point is, while I buy her cookbooks in a vainglorious effort for her to notice me, I have found all of her stuff really incredible over the years. Like, all of her recipes have been very helpful. All of the stuff that she offers up is really great. I think that, like, the tips that she has in her books are fantastic. I think the recipes that she offers up are very classy, but also at times very easy. Like, and while we're on the subject of cookbooks that were bought for love, Stanley Tucci is a man that I appreciate. He's a man's man, without even really having to try. Like, listen, I don't get starstruck often, but when I found out that Stanley Tucci was putting out a line of bottles of Pellegrino that he himself designed, I went and bought them. Like, so, can you really fault me for having bought the Tucci cookbook and the Tucci table? I don't think you can. I mean, it's a logical trip. Again, in hopes that someday he'll be like, hey, Nick bought both my books. He's a cool cat. Let's sit down, have a drink, and I'll tell him how to be as awesome as I am. And I'd be like, yes, Mr. Tucci, thank you very much, sir. So, yes. So, both of those. Stanley Tucci, Nigella Lawson. Very awesome. Cookbooks are fantastic. I've stolen a bunch of their stuff in the past. And it's just, it's all good. I just love their stuff so much. And I love a cookbook that doesn't make it seem far-fetched. Like, everything is obtainable, right? You can do everything that is being asked of you when it comes to those. And it just, it's a grand... They're gorgeous books. The illustrations are fantastic. Everything's cut and dry. It's just very easy to follow along. So I suggest all of them. Category 3. The quirky stuff. Now, there's a lot of stuff there's a lot of cookbooks out there. A lot of different ways that you can go. Knowledge is voluminous. You want to learn how to do sushi, you can get like 19 different books on sushi, so on and so forth. So there's always going to be those things that kind of like fall into a niche, right? My big hitters when it comes to kind of like niche cookbooks are the following. Let's see here. We've got Serial Griller by Matt Moore. If there is somebody in your life obsessed with grilling, this is a fantastic cookbook. Basically covers everything you could possibly think of cooking. There's like something insane, like 100 plus recipes in that cookbook. It's cover to cover. Again, they know what they're doing when they make these cookbooks now. Everything looks good. It looks tasty. But a lot of this stuff is very easy to do. There's, you know, easy monitoring of foods, the whole nine yards. It's fantastic. Next one you guys are going to get a kick out of. So as many of you probably know at this point, I've got celiac. So my favorite quirky cookbook right now is Gluten Is My Bitch. which is Rants, Recipes, and Ridiculousness by April It's Pevetois. And but I mean, if you go into your bookstore and say you need Gluten Is My Bitch, basically they're gonna know what you're looking for. It's just a grand old time. It was so when I first got diagnosed with celiac, it was kind of a ray of sunshine. So that was a nice change. Lemon Love and Olive Oil by Mina Stone. Good one when it comes to just the fundamentals, you know, just how beautiful food can be when it comes to simplicity. Great book. Old World Italian by Mimi Thoradson. Again, I have Italian on that side of the family, and it needs to be perfect, and it needs to be pristine, and just, I've been able to cop a lot of great ideas from that book when it comes to kind of satisfying the Italian side of the family. So that's nice. Let's see here. Other, I'm looking at the shelf, so you'll excuse me because they're buried into everything else. Ooh, the Old Sturbridge Village Cookbook, right? It's actually from Sturbridge Village. It's an old one, but a good one, right? Full title is Old Sturbridge Village Cookbook, Authentic Early American Recipes for the Modern Kitchen by Deb Friedman and Jack Larkin. I love the simplicity and the just, there's something about a hearty, hot meal, you know, that just hits the spot, like a good bowl of stew or just a mushroom and leek soup with chicken. You know, there's nothing that beats it. Old Sturbridge Village, that was a good one. I mean, Colonial Cooking is good. The American Pure Food Cookbook is a little bit absurd. Early American Cookbook, Authentic Favorites for the Modern Kitchen, good one. Originally published in 1876, so that's kind of, if you're a little bit more of a history nut, that's a good way to go. Salt, Fat, Acid, and Heat. Oh, love this book so much. Just made my mouth water thinking about some of the stuff that I've made from this book. Salmon Nosrat, she's amazing. She's got this very, again, beauty in the simplicity of it. The things that make the foods that we love good. And so it's easy recipes, easy steps, gorgeous outline. She actually, I feel like there was a series that came out about this book that I heard about in passing. But honestly, with my media consumption, like, I don't have a whole lot of options. But, like, I have the time that I have, and sometimes it doesn't work. But, yes, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. Fantastic modern cookbook. Very much the who's who on that one. Now, the last the last two are extremely quirky, but I love both of them for the sake of, if you know somebody who needs a cookbook or you want to buy a cookbook for and you want to do it with a little bit of cheek, the following two are perfect. The first one is 50 Shades of Chicken by F.L. Fowler. Combine shibari and poultry. basically, it's chicken recipes, but it's presented like 50 Shades of Grey. So it's very, it's just very matter of fact. It's very tongue in cheek. It's just a whole lot of fun. There's no two ways about it. It's just a hoot and a half. So check it out if you've got an opportunity. It definitely fits the bill when it comes to quirky cookbooks. The other one that I could not live without is Feeding Hannibal, a connoisseur's cookbook written by Janice Poom. So I don't know if any of you are familiar with the show Hannibal. It was based on, obviously, Hannibal Lecter. Gorgeous show. Brutal show. Gory show. But it was fantastic. I'm a huge fan of it. I'm when it comes to the horror genre, I'm not one that likes horror for horror's sake. So something about the artistic nature of Hannibal, not to mention the fact that Mads Mikkelsen is always, like, an all-star, but the show was gorgeous. And one of the things that it did was the show showed food in a gorgeous way. It was I don't want to say it was food porn, but it was definitely food art, like food, like bordering, you know, I would say food erotica, but that's a little bit weird. But so the Feeding Hannibal, A Connoisseur's Cookbook, is the book that covers the recipes that were shown in the show. Obviously not containing human, but, like, it all looks gorgeous. It's all fancy. It's all doable. But, like, who would have ever thought to combine foie gras with Timbits? Like donut holes. I'm not kidding you guys. But it's so, some of the recipes are so good and they're all so gorgeous. And just, it's a feast for the eyes as much as it is anything else, but definitely quirky. I mean, I know of no one who would buy a cookbook with Hannibal Lecter on the front and be like, oh yeah, that's, I totally expected this. Oh, another one. Really quirky. Well, not really quirky. It's more like homesteady, but old-fashioned. But there's a cookbook called Cooking with Fire. And it's about cooking over outdoor sources of heat to the point where it teaches you how to build a pendulum grill. And so not only does it show you how to cook, but it also shows you how to craft cast iron equipment in order to cook the food over said open fire. So it's very interesting. I never knew that cookbooks would include hardware instruction and possible welding requirements, but Cooking with Fire, a lot of fun. Especially if you have anybody who's outdoorsy, who, you know, like me, spend 3/4 of my summer in the backyard, and the fire pits going at least once a weekend. So, yeah, Cooking with Fire was kind of, when it was given to me as a gift, I think it was given to me as a gift, is kind of like a tongue-in-cheeky type of deal. But I've loved that book and actually built some of the stuff in the book. So that's pretty cool. And last but not least, the one thing I will never do without: my own cookbook. I have the cookbook in the kitchen that I go back to at least once a week. And it's got everything. Recipes for everything in it. It's got recipes for homemade pancakes and oatmeal raisin cookies and the Christmas cookies that we have to make every single year. And those are from the recipes that were, you know, basically made by the grandmas. And so we consolidated everything into one cookbook. But yeah. Every so often I jot something down to the point where, I had a little bit of a misty moment, about 2 weeks ago because my son put his first recipe in the cookbook. He filled out his own first page. It was a recipe for homemade hot chocolate, naturally, because there's some things you can't live without. And, so yeah. So I've got an extensive library of cookbooks. I know you guys are shocked, given the extensive library of everything I have. But those are my suggestions. I will, of course, put a list into written form so you guys can look them up if you want to, in case I stuttered or didn't make any sense in the midst of recording these. This is my travel equipment. I've got some cross-state line travel to do this weekend, a couple of bop-arounds. So hopefully the sound here isn't too, too bad. But until next time, have fun storming the castle. And thanks again for joining me. Bye.